Sexy. I believe.
The doors up, don't keep the people waiting. In the air, you can feel the anticipation. Let's circle love and say a quick prayer. That someone tonight will meet our loving savior. Build this pack, plus our father's watching up in heaven. 5 minutes left, the show starts right at 7. And once we start, ain't no limits on the time. It's the reason why our music's labeled timeless. Can't stop now, got the whole city behind us. KC Fit, it's place on our domes to remind us that whether we're in Cali or in H-Town, Cape Town, man, our God is royal. We living for His Highness. Once the show starts, I wanna see the whole crowd just vibe with me. Move they body, get they hands up high with me. And don't stop, y'all get it. But once the show's over, make sure you really live it. Yeah, that's why we here, to rep our dope God. We pushing Christ, so yeah, you can call these dope rhymes. My homie Trey told me A1 is your time. We're live from the show, me stay, bam, it's showtime.
890 GGN, God's Good News. Good Wednesday morning. It's time once again for Reggie and Wayne on a Wednesday. I'm Reggie B, and joining me, my friend and brother, Mr. Wayne Hodges, the editor-in-chief of www.massappealnews.com. And we've got a special guest that's going to be joining us this morning, and you can do the same by calling 816-576-7234 or 1-800-924-3177. Good morning, Wayne. How's it going?
Man, doing great. Always good to join you on a Wednesday morning. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, man. You know, the wintertime in KC, you have to just wrap up and just keep on pushing because it gets, you know, gets a little chilly out there on the outside.
Yeah, I know. I think right now it's in the teens, I believe.
Hey, it's a warm day today. Yeah, you know.
Well,
it's going to get in the 30s today. It's a heat wave.
That's a heat wave, and then we're going to get into the 50s this weekend. So
right.
Sunnier days are ahead here in Kansas City. Unfortunately, Reg, I have some unsunny news. Is that a word, unsunny?
Hey, and I say we in media, we can make up words.
Reg, I'm a little disappointed. Selma didn't do well at the box office.
I saw your reviews on in the newspaper. And
remember our good friend David Oyelowo?
Right.
Who played Dr. King in that, and we had David on the show, last year?
Right, with the butler.
With the butler, okay. Mm-hmm. And we were supposed to get him on last week, but he was tired. Did a lot of red carpet events for Selma, but only $11.2 million at the box office. And the budget, Reggie, when I say budget, I'm talking about budget, the budget was $20 million, so they're looking at about an $8 million loss when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
So, and now, why is that bad? I'm going to tell you why it's bad. Because, Reggie, how many times have you heard, and I'm glad we have our very special guest on this morning to talk about this, how many times have you heard that we're tired of violent movies, we're tired of movies with gangsta stuff and shootings and slaves and all. You hear that all the time, and then when we make a movie about, you know, something that's, you know, as prominent as, you know, civil rights and the Voting Rights Act and stuff like that, nobody goes out and support these films. Do you remember a movie called The Debaters?
Right.
Oh, no, The Great Debaters.
Right, I remember that.
Great movie. Nobody went.
Well, and I know we've got to get our guest on, so I don't want to get too far off.
Man. Well, we're gonna bring him in.
I mean, because he's been on. He called in early. He's been waiting patiently.
Oh, he was early.
Yeah. So, you know, he might fire us if we don't hear.
Well, Reg, go ahead and get the applause button ready. I'll go ahead and give the introduction. In Kansas City, we're going to welcome the pride of Oprah's Own Network. He's a star on For Better or Worse, and he's also starring in the new film, Sons to the Grave. We're going to talk about that movie. And Cassie, let's welcome Brad James to the Good Morning Show. How you doing, sir?
What's going on, fellas? How we living?
Man, we're sorry to keep you waiting. You know, Brad, every morning I'll vent. And Reggie lets me vent every Wednesday morning. I vent really every morning because I'm a blogger. But Reggie gives me airtime to, you know, get some of this stuff out. But it's just an honor that you're joining us this morning. So much to talk to you about. We enjoy your work at OWN, on For Better or Worse. But now you're taking a turn, you know, perhaps for the better, in this new film called Sons to the Grave, where you play the lead. Just your general thoughts on this film, a quick synopsis, and then I got some juicy questions for you.
Okay. First of all, Sons to the Grave is not a story where I'm taking a turn for the best. I'm actually taking a turn for the worst.
Whoa.
I get my hands a little dirty in this film.
It's going to be very different.
Yeah, it's going to be very different from what people are used to seeing from me.
Yeah, because in Kansas City, they're calling you a pretty boy. But this is different for you.
Whoa.
But you know what? It's not bad.
I want to talk to whoever in Kansas City is calling me a pretty boy. That's what I want to see.
But it's not bad. It's coming from the women. It's not bad. It's a good thing. But this role is, you know, considerably different. But yeah, go ahead.
No, Sons to the Grave is a very real story. Our phenomenal writer, Len Stoltz, from this movie, wrote it from some very real experiences. So it's based on a true story. So it's one of those ones where there's a real connection. You know, you're not just making a piece of work for people to go and view or not view. It's something that's that encompasses a bit of history that the world needs to know about. So it's a story that needed to be told, and we're just glad to be a part of it. You know, it talks about two sides of a bridge, and on one side of the bridge is an environment and a community that is very affluent, and they think they're above the problems on the other side. And when these two sides come together, man, we see some fireworks.
Yeah, and that sort of, Reggie, that sort of describes what's going on in St. Louis, and also here in Kansas City, Kansas, is sort of like that. In St. Louis, King Highway, are you guys familiar with King Highway in St. Louis?
Yes.
Okay, that divides that's the poverty line.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sadly but true. And also here locally in Kansas City, Kansas, everything east of 635. I don't know what it is about bridges and highways.
It used to be the railroad tracks, I think.
Well, but my goodness. And you know what, Reggie, that in itself is a form of racism, you know, albeit economic. But still, I mean, you want prosperity throughout, the community. So in this film, okay, I'm going to read you guys the synopsis, and then I'll get Brad's comments. Okay, let's see. Okay, we have a young man who gets shot on a bridge that Brad's talking about. And Reg, people know something. Friends, everybody's quiet. There's the no snitch rule. That, Reggie, I don't know where it came from, but it does exist. You know, I went out and interviewed people on the street. Brad, your thoughts? We got a young man here. He's 18 years old, basketball star. He's shot. I guess people know something, but nobody's talking. What's up with the no snitch rule?
You know, it's and this is something you're going to see illustrated in the film. Our director, Michael T. Williams, he's man, this dude is really good. he's got this great eye and this way of illustrating why nobody's talking.
Yeah,
it's not just an understanding. He shows it to you. So he shows the people involved, and he shows what happens when people do talk, or when people do try to stand up as individuals. It's part of understanding that in our community, people feel like individuals. People feel like they have to be out by themselves instead of banding together. You know, we used to have a term we used for each other years ago. We called each other brother. You know, when you say, hey, man, that brother right there, you just understood that meant someone else that was in your community that you took care of. And it felt a certain closeness, and I think we've gotten away from that. We call each other everything in the world but brother,
wow,
or sister. And I think small things like that that people aren't thinking about are what take away our strength and our power in numbers. I think we forget what a powerful force love actually can be. And words like that are love.
And Kansas City, we're on with actor Brad James of On TV's For Better or Worse. Brad, last week, and last week we talked about, you know, some of the, shootings and homicides that transpired here in Kansas City. We talked about an incident in Kansas City, Kansas, where there was a shooting where a baby lost his life in the shooting that happened at an occupied dwelling in KCK. And Reggie, what really flips me out is that... And we heard the mom come out and say, please help with tips. Give some tips. And I'm like, we hear this every time. And just from where I'm standing, the most qualified people to give a tip are the people who are getting shot at. I just don't get it. Brad, what's up, man? I mean, people are just not talking. I'm sorry. I don't know how you don't know who's not shooting at you.
And Wayne, interesting, an anonymous donor has upped the reward in that case. The little boy was 7 months old that was killed in that shooting. And now they announced this morning that the reward has been upped by a few thousand dollars. I'm not sure where it stands at this point.
And I'll catch Brad up. Brad, what happened was there was a shooting a couple weeks ago in our city where someone drove up on a home, fired multiple shots through the front door. A baby was hit and eventually died at the hospital. And I'm not trying to put the mother on the spot, but my goodness, how do you not know or have any kind of a clue who's shooting at you? I just don't get that. And we see this, it's a recurring theme in the urban community. I don't know, Brad, what do you think, man? Do we need to just start thinking and concentrating and come up with more tips or what?
You know, I think it's more than just tips.
Okay.
That really feels like, putting the Band-Aid on a gunshot wound to me.
Yeah.
I feel like we really need to be preventative. I mean, the fact is we're living in a world right now where things like this are becoming more and more normal. We're in a really desensitized society.
Yeah.
Many years ago, if you had footage of something happening to someone, it was a rarity, and it was the kind of thing that you get to the bottom of it. You know,
okay.
When some cops jump out and beat somebody up, it was a really big deal, and the world got woken up about it. Now people are getting murdered in the street, and nothing's happening. We're so used to seeing it. We're so used to anytime someone says anything. Someone will pull out their cell phones and get video footage, and they're yelling and screaming about it and loading it up online, and it's become a normal occurrence. It's become there's almost a bloodthirst out there now.
Ooh.
We are truly living in a more violent society. So these things don't seem as shocking. If you care about the people that are involved, you got to make sure that preventative things like this don't happen. What I love to see people come forth and give information when terrible things happen. Yes, that's true. But the fact of the matter is, I would rather our children not be shot at all.
Yeah.
That would be my rathers. I would rather that happen than just tips or just more people end up in a situation where they feel like the threat of jail is more real. I think we know the threat of jail is real, life is very challenging. For a lot of people that don't know that there's other ways, there's other means. You should be doing other things. We're not being held accountable, not being taught. The teaching and the understanding goes a long way. You don't just leave a people out there with no education and understanding of who they are and where they came from. educate people on who they are, why they should be doing what they're doing. You know, that brings me back to the point of why this movie was made in the first place. There's an education, you know, that happens through entertainment if you choose to go that route. Now, you can educate or you can entertain just for the sake of entertaining and selling a ticket, but you can also entertain with education, showing people what happens when you're making the right or the wrong decisions. You know, this film gives you the option of both and shows you what happens in a very real way. And it doesn't give you some fake fairy tale ending. It
lets
you know right from the beginning how real this is and how it affects everyone in a community.
Yeah.
And how different decisions can be made and what leads up to it. So these are the things we have to think about. You know, we're not just out here to be out for self. We are our brother's keeper if we believe our brother is out there. So, you know, like I said, while I feel strongly about the fact that people should be talking, I feel more strongly about the fact that people should be doing.
And Kansas City, along with actor Brad James, we're discussing the new film, Sons to the Grave, which is scheduled to hit theaters sometime this year. I tried to get it out of your publicist, but she wouldn't. Well, she said right now they don't know the release date, but it will hit all theaters nationwide soon, and I couldn't get out of Brad, here's something interesting. I'm going to read this to you, and it's sort of the slogan of the film. It says, quote, "We're born sons and we die sons. Somewhere in between is the story," end quote. What does that mean?
You know, I feel like it means different things to different people. For me, when it says we're born sons and we die sons, in this particular instance, you know, I feel like they're talking about this young man that the story centers.
Oh, okay.
Around and you know, he was born a son to a woman that cared about him and did her best to watch out for him.
Oh, okay.
And by the time he dies in this film, he hasn't transcended to anything else on the family spectrum. In other words, he hasn't become an uncle. He hasn't become a father.
Oh, okay.
You know, he hasn't been allowed to grow into anything else. When he died, he was still a son. So the generation never moved forward. So he was born a son, and he died a son. And the story we're going to watch is the choices that led to his demise.
That's a great point. Great point.
Yeah.
And we don't think about the socioeconomic ramifications from a homicide. You know, a lot of times we look at the press clippings and we see someone getting killed. Well, we're not thinking about, okay, that's just someone else who can't provide for his or her children. And you know, we talk about poverty and the connection. And so, Reg, I mean, it all kinds of ties. I mean, it really does tie together, Reg, but I'm just to a point now, Reg, where this no snitch thing, and when I read the synopsis of this film, it captivated me. Because right here it says, as a matter of fact, the synopsis says fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so people are scared to talk, and I just don't get that. When you live in a community where, and, okay, Rich, earlier I mentioned how I spoke to, you know, people in the street and asked them about the no snitch rule, and I got some really good answers. And someone told me something really interesting. He said the no snitch rule was supposed to come into effect only when it didn't involve the loss of women and children.
Hmm.
Well, here in Kansas City, we've had, Brad, we've had 5 infants and toddlers shot in drive-bys in the last 4 months, and 4 of them died. And those cases, we only have suspects in one of those cases. And it's just a suspect, so we have 0 convictions. So my thing is, okay, if the no-snitch rule is supposed to be off-limits, you know, when it comes to women and children, now we got babies dying and people still not talking. I just don't know how you prosper as a community. I'm sorry. I think we need to take a tougher stance. I think you mentioned accountability. I think we definitely need to hold people accountable. And I don't need this young lady standing on the steps saying, "Find the killer," when they're shooting at you. If you don't know who the heck's shooting at you, you need to stare in the mirror. There's something you know. Or if you're dating someone who knows something. I just don't ask me. Because I don't know you. I don't know your friends. I don't know your enemies. She has, I mean, and I'm not trying to pick on a young lady. It was a tough loss. She lost her baby. But my goodness, you got to know something. Nobody just randomly shoots at a house 20-something times, and the house has been shot at twice in the last year, calendar year. Brad, am I being a little tough?
I don't know the ins and outs.
Give it to me straight.
Yeah. I don't know the ins and outs of that case.
I know, but I'm just saying. I
hear your frustration when it comes to matters like that. And that frustration is good, and you need to continue to get the word out and spread the mindset that keeps things like that from happening. People need to get frustrated. People need to get woken up. But like I said, I don't know the ins and outs of that case. I don't know what she knows or doesn't know.
I'm generally speaking.
But what I do know is that she's feeling the effects, just like that entire community is.
Yeah.
And people are looking for answers. Again, I just firmly believe that the answers lie in education and education itself. And when I say education, I'm not talking about sitting down and going to school. You know, I mean realizing who you are, where you came from, and where you can go.
Yeah.
Because if you feel that there is no other option out there than to kill those around you, if you feel like that is your way out, if you feel like that is your way to get your revenge, if you feel like that is your way to get your money, if you feel like that is your way to get your status, then
right.
You're on a very wrong path.
Wow.
They say the love of money is the root of all evil. And there are other people that reinterpret that and say the lack of money.
Wow.
You know, I think
that might be more appropriate today.
I think desperation. When you take desperation and mix it with a disrespect for life, you breed a whole lot of problems.
Yeah.
You know, there's a certain kind of respect that has been lost. Me as an actor now, and I do these interviews sometime, and people ask me how I got started or why I got started. But, you know, I got started late in acting terms. You know, I spent a lot of years doing other things. I was in the Marine Corps. I sold suits. I went door to door doing sales. I was investing in real estate. I did a lot of different things before I got to do what I really love and enjoy doing, just because I didn't realize the opportunity was there. And when I did, once I realized it was there and I believed I could achieve it, I went a completely different direction. So, you know, I'm a firm believer in educating people that there are other ways, there are other things. And when one path seems like the only path and you have to do whatever you have to do, then these are some of the results that we get.
And I hear Reggie playing the music, which means we're coming at the top of the hour, which means we're going to take a break. And my thing, Brad, is simple. I mean, if I have babies, a lot of us have children. If someone shoots my kid, I'm going to name every enemy I've had since first grade. I'm sorry. I'm snitching. Yeah. That's my baby. But, Reg,
yeah.
I know we got
I'm coming after you. But
okay. I'm just saying. I'm going to name everybody. But, Reg, I know at the top of the hour, Brad, are you able to hang on for a few more minutes, or you got to get out of here?
Yeah, I'm around.
Okay. Well, Reg, let's go ahead and pay some bills, man.
All right, and we will be back. If you've got a question or a comment for Wayne, myself, or our guest, Brad, 816-576-7234 or 1-800-924-3177. You're listening to 890 GGN, God's Good News. It's Reggie and Wayne on a Wednesday. We'll continue with more after these important communications.
KGGN Gladstone.
And we're back with our next segment of Reggie and Wayne on a Wednesday. Once again, if you would like to join us and join in on the conversation, maybe you want a chance to speak with actor from Tyler Perry's episode Better or for Worse, at a brand new movie. Mr. Brad James is joining us today. 816-576-7234 or 1-800-924-3177. And we're back with Wayne Hodges, my partner, and Mr. Brad James. And guys, we are back. And you know, we were talking as we closed that segment about the lack of what was the term you used, Brad, in about the money, the lack of money, or the what were your exact words? I'm sorry.
I was saying, you know, we know that the love of money is the root of all evil, but you know, we sometimes ignore the fact that the lack of money as a strong factor as well.
But see, I went to a luncheon yesterday with the SCLC as they prepare for the Dr. Martin Luther King celebration coming up. And the speaker, Miss Maggie Anderson, she and her family spent 1 year and they only bought black.
Whoa.
For 1 year. And that was one of the things she said, that if there were more economic opportunities, then we wouldn't have so many so much crime and things happening in the streets.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And Wayne, you've talked about that before in past years.
Oh man, it's huge. Well, Reggie, that's why I got upset with the people in Ferguson. I wasn't picking on them. It makes no sense to destroy your own businesses and then have to drive out to the suburbs and supplement someone else's tax base and make yourself poor in the process. I mean, I'm not picking on people. You know, I mean, it's not good. You got to keep your businesses flowing, and it's important. Reggie, the neighborhood you live in, it has a tax district. The neighborhood I live in has a tax district. The neighborhood Brad lives in, tax district, which means when you shop in that respective community, when you spend, you pay a sales tax, and that sales tax goes into a bank account for that respective jurisdiction or city. It's simple. So if you're not spending where you live, you're poor.
Well, Wayne, you talked about the lack of the support for the movie like Selma, and then we think about Tyler Perry. You know, for a while, all of his things were like gold. But I'm asking, are these movies ethnic, and are they not doing well because everybody is not going to see the movie, but it's more contingent on the African American community to go out and support these movies, and not everybody just say, you know, hey, everybody, it's a great movie, let's all go out and see it. But do they think, hey, no, that's another black film, let's let, you know, the African Americans and everybody, you know, that maybe wants to, that kind of has some identity, or, you know, we've got some people that identify with us that may not even be of our race. But then there are some people that there's that dividing line, just like the movie talks about the bridge, or I mentioned the railroad track.
Right. Wow, I got a juicy answer, but I'm going to let Brad go because you don't want me to get started on that one. Brad, what do you think?
we talk about the support of certain films and the lack of support of other ones. You know, here's the bottom line. They need to get made. These stories need to get told. And if we understand the importance of it, you know, I went to go see Selma before its opening. I went to a pre-screening, and one thing I realized while watching this film is that, you know, it talks about things that weren't taught in school.
Yeah,
it talks about things that people just don't know. It's not just another story on an occurrence, a story on Dr. King, or, you know, it's a window, it's a peek into what was going on for those of us that, you know, didn't happen to be around or didn't happen to know what was going on internally at the time. So it's an education. And I keep bringing up the fact of being, you know, educating us on our stories.
Right.
And this movie, man, this thing is powerful. It was very well directed. It's a piece that, you know, I've got a lot of friends that were involved, and I was really proud of the work that they did. But the truth is, those that don't want you to know about it, those that don't want you to know about your stories and your struggles, they aren't going to support it. So there's no one else to support it except for us.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody does something bad, or when somebody does something they're not proud of, they don't want it. they don't want to see it replayed on screen, but that's a part of history too.
That's right.
And so we're not counting on them to support that thing. And if a movie costs $20 million to make, how much did you say in the box office?
Yeah, $11.2 million on its big weekend.
$11.2 million. Yeah. You know, that's the opening weekend. This movie's so good that I don't expect a huge drop off in the following week, because what happens is word of mouth.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Begins to spread. So you've got weeks to continue to make money on a movie, and then there's video on demand, which has been a much bigger stream of revenue.
Yeah.
Than it has been in years past. And then you have the cable networks that'll get it then. Then cable networks continue to work that thing out continuously. So the movie's going to make money. But, my biggest concern is that people are going out and seeing it and taking the youth that don't necessarily know their history out to see it. It should almost be required to go out and watch this film,
right?
So that you can understand, a piece of your history and where you came from. You know, I said before in a talk that we can watch The Butler and be educated. We can watch 12 Years a Slave. You know, we can watch The Help, and all these things are good. But the truth is, when the big money comes out. And I'm talking that big money and big advertising dollars and big studios be involved. They'll do something like Gods of Egypt, and replace the people of color with people without color.
Right.
Yeah.
The Scorpion King. I can go on.
Yep. And that was Exodus.
Don't get me started
Exodus.
On that.
Yeah. And then
think about the budgets that are involved, and everybody excited to go see these movies. But these are our stories too, and that's the part that people are forgetting. These are our stories as well, and it's not like the stories aren't being told; they're just being retold. They're being readapted. They're being shown in a different light. So when young people go and watch these movies, they equate what they've seen on screen with how it really was.
Right.
And a big part of that is the imagery of the people involved. So
Brad,
if you think of your history as nothing but people who struggled and as the help and the slave and the butler, then you don't understand that you were gods and kings too.
Thank you. Oh, Brad, I got a juicy question for you. Have you ever met Ice Cube? Because he's directed and produced some films. Ice Cube went off. Because a couple of years ago, a lot of people were, well, a lot of African-Americans were sort of talking about what you're talking about. You know, when are we going to see a black big-budget film like a X-Men or a Avengers or whatever? I'm just throwing stuff out there. And Ice Cube said, look, the reason why our movies are low budget is because they don't give us a big budget. They only give us a few million to work with. Is that accurate? Because that's what he said. That was his explanation. And if that's the case, I'm really concerned, because there's no way we can improve the quality of these films if nobody's going to give us money. You know, I mean, I'm just saying what he said. That's not my words.
Right.
But that's what Ice Cube
right.
said. He said nobody.
You know what he's saying. What he's saying is true. A lot of the films that we want to do, and I'll even tell you. I'm really proud of the people involved in Selma, because it didn't have a huge budget. Again, it was another case where there wasn't a big budget, and a lot of people took huge pay cuts. These weren't big paydays for the people involved. They just wanted to get the story told. I'll agree with that. That's accurate, but I don't have a woe is me attitude about it.
Thank you.
I feel like here's the deal. I can't rely on someone who doesn't know my story to want to invest and tell it. It's up to me. So there is money within our communities. There is money within amongst our entertainers to get these kind of stories done. And if it's if we're banded together, and not worried about individuality, and can come together on a regular basis and make these films and promote these films, then we're going to be in a really good place. But you know, if I'm a 65-year-old Jewish male, I'm probably going to tell stories that resonate with me.
Right.
You know, if I'm a 70-year-old white man living in Los Angeles, I have to tell stories that resonate with me, because if I do anything else, I'm not being authentic anyway. I don't understand this other community struggles.
Oh.
So think about it like this. We're not sitting around talking about the Asian American struggle right now.
Right.
That's not our concern or topic of conversation. And if we were to go and put money behind it and do it, it would have to be out of a love for that for that community. And that will probably come as the result of someone in our family, or close friend, or someone that we really loved and cared about, going through a specific struggle or situation. That's why we would go out of our way to tell that story. But other than that, we're not going to do that. We're not going to fund it, because it's not real to us and it doesn't resonate to us. Those aren't our stories. So, you know, I don't think it's their responsibility to raise the money and tell our stories. It's ours.
Oh.
And so, you know, we can't go around, you know, being mad because, you know, some executive in Hollywood isn't telling our story. That's not his story. He doesn't even know about it. He wouldn't even be authentic if he tried to tell it.
But you know what? I give people like Jamie Foxx credit. Reggie, your friend, Jamie Foxx, and I know we're approaching the end of the segment. Your boy Jamie Foxx, Reg, he became the first black Daddy Warbucks in Annie. And also, Annie is black in this film for the first time. I mean, you got to give those guys credit for breaking through. I couldn't believe they landed those roles. And it's a good movie.
Listen, that is the result, again, of people in power wanting to tell that story.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the Jamie Foxx audition. It was because, you know, Overbrook was a producer. It was
because of his
involvement as a producer. See, if you're not in that power position where you're responsible for making that film happen, then you can't call the shots. You got to have the money, you know, to call the shots. So that's one of the things that Will Smith is doing.
Oh, okay. And Kansas City, we want to thank actor Brad James of Tyler Perry's For Better or Worse. New episodes are coming up this March on OWN TV. Also look out for the movie Sons to the Grave, which is coming out pretty soon this year. The publicist wouldn't give me the date or didn't know the date, either one. And for more on Brad James, go to massappealnews.com. We have a nice feature on Brad. Also the movie Sons to the Grave. And then we'll have the podcast of this interview posted on there later as well. Brad, thanks for joining us.
And thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
Keep educating.
All right. And we'll be back at the bottom of the hour, a little bit after 8:30, with more Reggie and Wayne on a Wednesday. We'll talk more about local Kansas City events and whatever you want to talk about at 816-576-7234 or 1-800-924-3177. It's now time for the Ministry of Kingdom Word with Bishop Eric Morrison on 8:90.